What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
As a proud Catholic, I've never really cared much for atheists. If you're turning your back on God's Christian teachings, then at least have the courage to call yourself a Lutheran.
While individuals have their own religious beliefs and consciences, businesses that employ thousands of hardworking Americans do not.
Hobby Lobby is a family-owned business that doesn't want Washington to be their boss. They believe that abortion takes the life of a child and that every child deserves a chance at life. What's wrong with that?
This fuzzy postmodern sentiment, you know, that intentions matter more than outcomes.
Chaplains deployed to Washington, D.C. absolutely love Issues Etc.
I don't hear anyone openly arguing against religious freedom. But the definition of that religious liberty, its scope, how far it extends, is it only for individuals? Is it also for individuals who happen to own for-profit businesses and for the practices that they extend to their employees in the practice of that business? How far does religious liberty extend? That is the question that is actually pressing upon our country today. And when I say pressing upon our country today, I mean today in Washington, D.C., at the Supreme Court, where oral arguments were heard by the Supreme Court on a case that has everything to do with how far religious liberty should extend. Should it only extend to individuals, kind of a private thing? Or does it reach out into society, into the places where people work, where they own businesses, where they operate businesses? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Adrian Dorr-Hines joins us to summarize and give us a little picture of the oral arguments heard today by the Supreme Court in the HHS contraception mandate. We'll be talking about The Devil and His Lies, concluding a two-part series with Pastor David Peterson a little bit later in this hour. Then Dr. Danny Faulkner will join us for our review of Episode 3 of the TV series Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. And we will address some objections made to religion by former President Jimmy Carter. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us to respond to the former president. He says that religion has been harmful to gender equality. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment for the next half hour of the program when we conclude our series on The Devil and His Lies with Pastor David Peterson. Any question or comment you have on the devil or his lies at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Adrian Dorr-Hines is a regular guest. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she joins us live from Washington, D.C., where she covered this landmark case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Adrian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me. I apologize if it's noisy. I'm actually in the airport.
How would you describe the atmosphere outside the court this morning?
It was interesting. It was obviously very divided. There were probably a couple of hundred people there from both sides. There were a lot of security, a lot of press. It was interesting to me, as I stood on the side for religious liberty first, that the general comments and the tenor of the group were very positive. They spoke about what they were in favor of, that they are pro-family, pro-life, pro-religious liberty. And then as I moved over to the other side, where they were not in favor of necessarily those things, it was a very angry group. There was a lot of shouting and yelling and very shrill voices. There was a marked difference between the two. One was there to speak well of things they were in support of, and the other, there was a lot of anger in the air.
So how would you summarize the arguments that were made today as they were delivered to the people waiting outside, as they were summarized for everybody waiting outside the court? How would you describe the arguments for religious liberty inside the court?
I actually went to a reception hosted by the Beckett Fund, which is a legal institution that fights on behalf of religious liberty. And the gentleman who gave the remarks at that lunch was actually Paul Clement, who argued on behalf of Hobby Lobby before the Supreme Court today. And he told us, you know, you don't leave a case like this and go spike a football and throw your hands in the air and cheer and proclaim victory. You ask yourself at the end of the day, how that went, and whether you would want to be on the side of the Hobby Lobby folks or whether you would rather be on the government side. And he said, I left today wanting to be on my side because our side did well. He said, we were asked hard questions and we had good answers. And the other side was asked hard questions and they had answers that were not sufficient for the judges. To him, the other side came in a bit unprepared. And he, while he didn't come right out and say it, he said it seemed as though they perhaps thought this was more of a shoo-in than it actually was, that the judges seemed very skeptical of their answers, and that that's a good thing for us, that the judges aren't just accepting their answers carte blanche, but that they are asking more questions and wanting more evidence and more proof. So he was cautiously optimistic that we may have a majority in our favor, but one of the things he encouraged all of the folks there to do was to continue to talk about this case. He said it's very easy to assume that once the hearing is over, that our work is over, and it's not. You know, he said file more amicus briefs, you know, write more op-eds, be on social media, continue to talk about this, because the other side certainly will not be quiet. They will continue to lift this issue up, and so we ought to as well. So that was his message for us today, is that those of us in support of religious liberty, don't give up now. We continue to talk about this until June when the ruling comes down and even beyond.
I know that this has been addressed by President Matt Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There is a certain amount of kind of Hobby Lobby fatigue that does set in because the story has been making its way through the press for the better part of a year, if not more. And then, of course, with the Supreme Court, you're hearing about it all the time. What are your thoughts on people who say, look, I'm just tired of hearing about Hobby Lobby and their concerns here?
Yeah, tired isn't an excuse that works. This is a huge matter and one that has a trickle-down effect that I'm not sure we can even comprehend. One of the things that we heard and discussed today is that this is really an issue of choice. The word choice has kind of been co-opted. There's a lot of baggage that comes along with it now. But this case determines whether or not a Christian gets to have the choice to live out his Christian life or whether that's taken away from him. One of the examples used, you know, you go to the grocery store and you want to be able to buy the kind of cereal you like. You don't want that choice taken away from you. And if the government rules in favor of the Supreme Court rules in favor of the government in this case, that choice would be taken away from us. You know, one of the gentlemen who sat at my table today was a lawyer who was actually in the courtroom, and he said about 90 minutes into the hearing, one of the justices, I believe he said Justice Kennedy, said to the government, you know, you would never force a religious organization to pay for an abortion of one of its employees, would you? I mean, you would never go that far. And Justice Roberts turned to him and said, that's exactly the point of this case. That's exactly what we're arguing, is that there are drugs that you are forcing them to cover in this health care plan that kill children. So he said it was really a kind of an aha moment when folks in the courtroom could see sort of a tangible change in understanding what was really at stake here.
So is it actually not only the scope of religious liberty, does it extend to people who operate businesses and how they choose to operate those businesses, but also the basic definition of religious liberty, Adrian?
It sure sounds like it. I think because many of us don't follow this news all that closely, we define it very narrowly. And I think that the Hahn and the Green families, the Green family owns Hobby Lobby, the arts and crafts retailer. The Hahn family is a Mennonite family who owns Conestoga Wood Specialties. They make cabinets. I think that the two of them are very proactive in seeing where a ruling like this could go and the implications of that, and that's why they're willing to stick their neck out now to perhaps preserve our country from having to deal with those things later. Both of those families were at the luncheon I was at today. They're both incredibly humble, you know, godly families. I met both of them and thanked them both on behalf of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for what they're doing, you know, letting them know that they're in our prayers. And their response was one of just great humility and thankfulness. I don't think they're in this to make a name for them, certainly, name for themselves, but simply to defend what they actually believe in, and that's a Christian's right to live and to work as he or she pleases.
Finally then, Adrian, given what you've observed today and the conversations that you've had today there after the Supreme Court oral arguments, how would you respond to someone who says, look, I don't own a business. I'm a Christian, but I don't own a business. This is only for rich people who happen to own, you know, big national chains or something like that. This doesn't matter to me. My religious liberty is not at stake. How would you respond?
I think that's, again, a very narrow view. Once we begin to define where the government can poke its neck into how we worship and how we live as Christians, it opens the door for a whole host of other things. And that was one of the reoccurring themes today, is that we're given this right as Americans, that our Lord is the only one who gets to give us guidelines for worship and how we live life, but the government does not get to do that. And once it sort of unilaterally steps in and says that it can, there's no knowing where the outcome is. And so it's why it's important to remain faithful now, to pray about those things, and to be bold in speaking up about them. You know, the Han and the Green families probably never imagined this day would come, but now they are some of the most articulate advocates for religious liberty, and I think that could easily be the case for all of us. The more we learn and the more we grow and the more we read, we too can very boldly confess what we believe as Christians, and that can only be a good thing.
Adrian Dorr-Hines is managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine. She joins us live from Washington, D.C., where she's covered this landmark case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Adrian, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor David Peterson, concluding a short series we're doing with him on the devil and his lies. We're going to talk about the lies that the devil tells you about God's law and the lies that the devil also tells you about God's gospel. We'll be right back.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, Etc., as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.